There were 24 of us in the company altogether, if you counted Arby, his partner Julia, Maisie, the stage manager, and Rachel, the voice coach. The rest were all boys. A company of boys, chosen by Arby and his committee from schools and youth theaters all over the United States. We were all shapes and sizes and ages, up to 18. The only thing we had in common was that by accident or experience or both, we all knew how to act. Supposedly, we were the best young stage actors in the country. We had one other thing in common, too. Most of us were pretty weird. When you think about it, a normal kid wants to watch TV or movies, videos or computer games. There's something odd about him if instead he's more interested in the stage. And we were all crazy about it. Crazy and confident that we had talent. Arby had made sure of that when he first interviewed each of us last winter. Now, it was summer. By bus or train or airplane, we'd all been brought to this school in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to rehearse two plays by Shakespeare together. Some rich theater nut had left money in his will to have Shakespeare's plays performed the way they were 400 years ago when he first wrote them. There were no actresses in the theater in those days. Women's parts were all played by boys whose voices hadn't broken yet. Some of the theater companies were made up of men and boys, some just of boys, like ours. And when we'd rehearsed for 3 weeks, the rich man's money was going to fly us across the Atlantic to London to perform at the New Globe, a theater that was an exact copy of the one the plays were first acted in 4 centuries ago. We were going into a kind of time warp. My dad would have thought that was really cool. He was a big Star Trek fan. But I try not to think about my dad. Arby called a break for lunch. That meant going down to the cafeteria of the school where we were working. Ferdy walked with me. Not that he ever really walked off stage. It was more a sort of spastic bouncing jive. He draped one arm briefly over my shoulders.
That was severe, man. If he chops guys for little things like that, he's going to have my ass in a week.
I feel bad about it. I was remembering the horror on the pudgy boy's face as Arby banished him.
"He could have hurt you,"
said little Eric self-righteously, shadowing me.
"Could have broken your back if you'd hit the ground."
But he didn't let me hit the ground. He caught me, just a bit late.
"Late is too late," said Gil Warman behind us.
He towered over our heads as we all went down the stairs.
"The old man was right. Nobody can mess with trusting. You kids remember that."
"Okay, Dad," said Ferdy cheerfully.
"I mean it. You feel bad about that guy, Nat. That's dumb. He's history and he deserved it. Grow up."
"Grow up yourself," I said, stung. Arby's big voice rang down the stairwell from above. The man was everywhere, like God.
"Read through the dream in 45 minutes, gentlemen," the voice said. "And just bear in mind, this is going to be the most sublime 6 weeks of your lives, and the shittiest. In the theater, they go together."
The first weeks were certainly that kind of mixture. Even that first day. It wasn't literally the first day because we'd had a rather muddled week of orientation, but it was the beginning of serious rehearsal. For the reading, Arby went on with his game pattern. He had us all sit cross-legged on the floor in a big circle with our scripts, and he sat in the middle with a soccer ball in his hands. He threw his ball at each of us in turn, and when you caught it, you had to say in a loud, clear voice the name of the characters you were playing, then your own name and where you came from. Then everyone said hi to you. Then you threw the ball back. We'd been through this whole exercise once already on the day we arrived, but I have to admit it was helpful to do it again. The ball came at me, stinging my hand as I caught it. "I'm Puck in A Midsummer Night's Dream. Pindarus in Julius Caesar. Nat Field from Grenville, South Carolina." It was Eric's turn.
"Eric Sawyer from Camden, Maine. I'm Mustard Seed in A Midsummer Night's Dream, and Senna, the poet, in Julius Caesar."
We chorused, "Hi, Eric."
"Character names first," Arby said. "They're more important than you are."
Little Eric flushed. Arby threw the ball at the next boy, a tall, brawny character in a black tank top and black jeans. "Duke Theseus in A Midsummer Night's Dream. Brutus in Julius Caesar." He had a voice as strong as Arby's. "I'm Ray Danza from Chicago."
"Hi, Ray."
The boy next to him was tall, too, but chubbier, with a mop of curly black hair like a floppy afro.
Starveling in the dream, Caesar, in Julius Caesar. Hi, Schwartz from Los Angeles.
Hi, hi.
And we all broke up. It sounded so silly. Everyone laughed, except Arby.
Get a haircut, hi,
he said, and he went on throwing the ball. I was having a good time all afternoon until the middle of the read-through, when Arby lit into me for going too fast. He'd already told me twice to slow down, and I'd tried, but I guess I was nervous. We all were, of course. Everyone had a crystal-clear memory of the sudden end of Pudding Face's career.